of you two, Pastor. And I'm like, did we have a guest speaker tonight? I was like, well, praise God. I'll get to hear some good preaching. Amen. And, you know, one of the things that I love Pentecostal Holiness history. I just love history. History and any kind of history. But one of the things that I've discovered about Pentecostal history is the people that started our denomination were in their 30s. They were some late 20s, middle 30s, maybe early 40s. And that is amazing because when God moves among young people, it is an amazing thing. Amen. But I will tell you that it's not just the young people. I think about our pastor who's in his 70s. I think about our president who is in his 70s. I think about other ministers that I know that I think about Jimmy Swaggart. I believe he's an octogenarian or whatever you call it when you're 80-something. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter your age. Amen. And I'm always going to be young at heart. Praise God. And because I'm hungry for God. Amen. I'm as hungry for God at 45 years of age as I hope I'm hungrier than I was when I was 15. And Carolyn Edwards was in my grandmother's church. And that song, Prayer Bells of Heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, bearing a message. My grandmother used to sing that song. I wish Carolyn Edwards was here tonight. I know she couldn't be here. But I'll tell you one thing. It took me back to my grandmother's church. And I'll tell you, that is just amazing what God is up to. Amen. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. And let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Come on. Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we're talking about the cries from the cross. And, you know, we're getting to Passion Week. And a lot of things are coming up. 2 weeks from tonight is the beginning of revival. Turn around and tell somebody, you're supposed to be here. Amen. Don't lay out. Don't go to Disney World and don't go to a ball game that week. Amen. And just revival. Amen. Revival, revival, revival. God, God, God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Move into the Spirit, move into the Spirit. Children saved, parents saved, family affair. Drag them in, drag them out. Slain in the Spirit, running the aisles. People baptized in the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to anybody out there tonight? Somebody say revival. Well, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward. You are going to be astounded at Brother Kenny Williamson. He's a humble man, but he's multi-talented. Sings, plays a piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. I know some of you young people don't know who Jerry Lee Lewis is. But nobody plays the piano nowadays. It's a forgotten instrument. But he is going to bless you. They gave him up to a very short life. He's had reconstructive surgery on his face. He's been through some trials and some tests. But he is going to come, and he is going to bless your heart. I put up the Facebook link. There's a link to him playing the piano. But let's pray. Because not just a revival, let's just have a move of God. That is the week before Easter, and it is what I call Passion Week. Somebody say Passion Week. We should be passionate about God. You know, we get passionate about things, and I understand that there's good causes for us to get passionate about. There's things that we should involve ourselves in, and that is wonderful. I love what Trinity is involved in, and we just give her a big hand. She's just done an amazing thing, raising money for cancer. And Trinity, I'm so glad you're here tonight because I'm going to mention you in my message because it's going to tie with what I'm going to say about Jesus. But thank God for that a healthy church is involved in causes and fire rescue and police work. We have people that are in police work and we have some people that pack. Amen. Glory to God. I believe in the angels of the Lord, but I believe in Brother Stetson, too. Amen. And Brother Colt. Amen. He'll help out every now and then. Y'all, I'm talking about a gun. Amen. Praise God. But I want you to be trained to have it. Amen. Don't come waving that thing around me. I'm going to tackle you. Amen. I'm going to fall on you. Praise God. It's the only defense I have. I'm just going to jump on you. Amen. And But we don't want that thing going off. But I'll tell you, we've got people involved in good causes. But let me tell you, the greatest cause in all the earth is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where it's going to make a difference between heaven and hell. This is going to make the difference between whether teenagers decide to keep themselves pure or not because of what we're doing in this building, what we're influencing. This is where it's happening. Make your life around the church. Plan your calendar around the church. I thought somebody say amen. Come on. Be in church. Love church. Don't miss church. Don't sleep in. Don't give up. Don't get mad and quit. Stay in the church, in the church, in the church. The church is where it's happening. I believe I have a little shout about that. Thank God for the church. Amen. Because when you're sick, you're going to want the church. When you're down in the valley, you're going to need the church. So let's have church. Somebody say amen. I'm making my plans to be in church. I'm making my plans to be in revival. Amen. And going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm not going to be one of the saints that come dragging in. Amen. I'm going to be one of the, somebody, I got here this morning a little early to do some work, and Brother Elam said, well, you're here early today. I said, Brother Elam, I'm here, I'm early whether you see me or not. Amen. Praise God, I get up early because I love church. Anybody love church? Yeah. Well, give the Lord a praise if you love Westmoreland Church. Yeah. Woo, praise God. Now, we've been talking about the cries from the cross. And if you'll put up the seven sayings, if you'll put that up, saying number one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We talked about that. We talked about this day, you shall be with me in paradise. And we talked about the man who was going to be in paradise. I like that because people say, what happens when we die? This day. You will be with me in paradise. When you're doing the funeral 3 days later, they are in paradise. And by the way, it's called paradise. That means glory. No sickness. No emergency room. Amen. No viruses. Amen. Don't have to worry about hand sanitizer in heaven. This day you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. And then we talked about Wednesday night, woman. I think, have we done Woman, Behold Your Son? That was Wednesday night. And so tonight is God, Why Have You Forsaken Me? And then we're going to continue on with I Thirst. Then It Is Finished. And Into Your Hands I Commit My Spirit. Now these seven cries from the cross then help us live our life now. Because they have something for us. And so let's stand tonight and read Matthew chapter 27 as we go to the fourth cry of the cross. Matthew chapter 27. And I'm also going to read from Mark chapter 15. Matthew 27 and Mark chapter 15. If you love God, say amen. Amen. If you still love me after I said all that stuff, say amen. It wasn't quite as loud that time. Hallelujah. I love you, I do. I love everybody here. I love God. Yes. By the way, thank you, Dr. Nathan and Jennifer, for the youth activities on Wednesday night. Our youth pastor, Jonathan and Regina, they have their hands full. They have a lot of ministries, and you're coming in to help them and on that Friday night. And Doug and Vera are helping with Children's Church. And I'm telling you, there's excitement building in the air. Amen. And all of you singing in the cantata. The two services on Easter Sunday. By the time we get finished, you might be saying, God, why have you forsaken? No, I'm just kidding. You'll be tired. Amen. But I promise you it'll be worth it. Two services on Easter Sunday. Two opportunities to get people in church. Some of you may have to leave to go on a vacation. You could come to the 9 o'clock service. And that way you can head out of town a little bit earlier. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. If you're there, say amen. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want us to read that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark chapter 15. If you're there, say amen. Is it on the screen? Say amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I want you to read it in both Matthew and in Mark. Father, tonight, anoint the preaching of your word. We'll give you the praise, God, for revival and for Easter and for all that you're doing in our church in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and you may be seated tonight. Tell them you're looking pretty. Amen. You know, a sub-theme of this series that I've kind of tacked on my part is how to survive a bad day. You know, everybody has a bad day. In fact, some of you may be having a bad day today. Well, although this happened on Good Friday, it was for Jesus a bad day. You see, for Jesus, it was the mother of all bad days. It was the bad day of bad days. Someone said, it was a day of lying tongues and compromised courts, of brutal beating and vicious bloodletting, screamed curses and angered tyrants, of mindless mobs and jeering throngs, of violence on the heels of rejection, of stark loneliness in the wake of fleeing friends. It was a day of dismal darkness, thunder and earthquake, a day of human arrogance and folly. Wouldn't you say that describes a bad day? It was a God-forsaken day in which God Himself was killed as He submitted Himself to the hands of His creation. On this bad day, Jesus endured, listen, all suffering. He endured all rejection, not just His suffering, not just His rejection. He endured your suffering and your rejection. He endured all pain, all exhaustion. He endured all misunderstanding. He endured all anger, all hatred, all depression, all loneliness. He endured all death. He endured all and every wrong ever committed multitudes of times. He actually endured all sin, for He made Him to be a sin offering. He endured it all. Biblical scholar Alfred Ertsham said, He disarmed death by burying its shaft in His own heart, and thereby death has no more arrows. Hallelujah. It kind of reminds me of a common phrase, and I just want to bring it down. Tie this in with Trinity. It kind of reminds me of this common phrase that it was made popular probably about 15 years ago. I remember the first time I heard it. When someone tells you something and you've already done it or you've already seen it. Let's say, well, you know, I've been to Disney World and I've ridden all the rides. And let's say you've already been there. So when they tell you about how the rides are and how good things are, sometimes you kind of get a little weary and you'll look at them and you'll say these words, I've been there. See, y'all got an attitude, I can tell you right now. Tell somebody, been there, done that. Now tell them with an attitude. I've been there, and I done that. And I got the, you know what I'm talking about. Well, my friend, Jesus has been there, and He's done that. And He's got a bloody T-shirt to show for it. Because whatever you face, whatever pain you feel, whatever fear you have felt, He's been there and He's done that. Oh, have you ever been betrayed before? I want you to know He's been there and done that. Have you ever had pain so real that you screamed in agony? He's been there and He's done that. Have you ever had people to look at you and shake their head at you? He's been there and done that. Have you ever been violated or molested or abused? May I tell you, even on the cross, He's been there and done that. Have you ever felt complete and utter darkness. I want you to know he's been there and he's done that. Charles Spurgeon said it was midnight at midday. And the crux of the matter is, have you felt like that even? Have you even felt that God himself doesn't know? Have you felt like God is not aware? Have you felt like God is 1,000 miles away? Well, let me tell you, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, even in all of his glory and deity, even he had a bad day, and even he felt like God was 1,000 miles away. How can it be? I don't know. But let me tell you, he's been there, and he's done that. Can you give him a hand of praise? Amen. You see, this is when he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is a turning point. This is the midway. Because let me tell you what has happened since he said, woman, behold your son. There's been some time that has elapsed. Since that last time that Jesus cried from the cross, someone came up to him and jeered at him and said, you saved others, but yourself you cannot save. And I just want to stop right there and preach a little bit. He has saved others. Amen. Has he saved you tonight? Can you say amen? But let me tell you, the second part of the phrase is definitely wrong, because he did save himself. For on that third day, he come out of that tomb. Can you say amen? Then there was darkness for 3 hours. The scripture says that people came and they wagged their heads. After 3 long hours of excruciating pain, utter darkness, embarrassment, he then says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, it's one thing to have people to leave you. It's one thing if you rear a child and your child doesn't talk to you anymore after you cared for it and sent it to school, and now they don't even care for you anymore. It's one thing to have a husband of 24 years to walk out on you after 20 years of marriage. It's one thing to have people forsake you, but to feel as if God himself, God, why have you forsaken me? You see, we say sometimes, if God loved me, then that would not have happened. If God had been there, my loved one would have been healed. If God is so powerful, why did he allow this to happen? Now, I want to tell you, I'd really like to take off and preach tonight, run the aisles, and we are going to run the aisles, but we're going to do a little plowing here tonight, because I'm going to be honest with you, we've all asked that question. We've all thought that thought, and there are teenagers sitting out here, and one of the arguments against Christianity is, if God is such a loving God, then why does he allow this to happen or XYZ to happen? And I'm going to explain to you some things tonight, and I want to give you 3 observations when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are 3 things that I want to observe from that cry from the cross, and I believe we will run the aisles, because God has never forsaken his people. He has never seen this righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I'll tell you that even on your bad day, God is good all the time and all the time. And what the devil means for evil, God can turn it. Romans 8:28 still applies. Before we get on these 3 observations, why don't we just stand and, like the pastor says, and give Jesus a standing ovation. He's in the house tonight. He's on the throne. He's up to something. Oh, he's been there. He's done that. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Observation number 1. Are you ready? Say amen. When Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Notice he didn't say, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Big difference. He said, excuse me. I'm going to walk fast down the aisle. I got an ingrown toenail and it hurts. Glory to God. Brother Bud, he said, my God. My God. Brother Kyle, when you're down in the lowest, what did he say?
My God.
Oh, he's still my God. Pastor, when your back's hurting, you can't hardly preach, what do you say?
My God.
My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches. When somebody mistreats me, you just say, he's my God. Amen. Raise your hand and say, "My God." We got too many people walking into church saying, "Oh God." "Oh, Pastor." No, "My God." Even in the darkest, "You're still my God." "I've been in pain. People are jeering me, and crowds are trying to embarrass me, and there's nails in my hand." But he didn't lose his faith. He like the song I think Darnell sings, he never lost his. He said, "My God." Amen. He's still God. He's still God, and he's my God. You see, this was a cry of distress, but not a cry of distrust. I'm going to repeat that. This was a cry of distress, but not a cry of distrust. Big difference. And then listen, we all have distress. Just drive down Ward Boulevard, and you'll get distressed real quick. Amen. Let one of these teenagers get a hold of the car keys in the parking lot. I know you got faith, but I'd get out of the way too. Because there's some distress. People say, "Brother Ricky, you parked your Lincoln out there to set a good example and leave room for visitors." No, I didn't want nobody to hit it. Because I'm in distress. Everybody was so proud. "Oh, look at him. He's walking so far." No, I just don't want you to mess with it. Amen. That's distress. Brother Beam and I, you like your Ford. Amen, brother. I see it over there at the donut shop. Praise God. It was a cry of distress and not distrust. And we can have some distressing times. I get to Best Buy sometime and I have some distressing times. And I walk around back there and nobody's back there in some of those aisles. And I tell you what I'm doing. I'm saying, "My God, my God. You are my God." I was in Best Buy the other day. And there's a scripture, and I've been aiming. Brother Philip, you may know about where it's at. "Therefore have I hope." One of the prophets said that, and I got to look it up. It just hit me right there at Best Buy. Friend, you can have church on your job. I don't just have to be here to have church. I can tell you right now, I can have church at Best Buy. Amen. You see, Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The three Hebrew boys said in distress, "We're not going to bow down," but they didn't say it in distrust. They said, "Our God will deliver. But if he doesn't deliver, we may be distressed, but we're not going to distrust our God if he delivers us." And what he really meant is what they really were saying is God is going to deliver us. He's either going to deliver us here or he's going to deliver us to there. But either way, we're not bowing because you can't do nothing for me. Amen. My God will see me through. He is the fourth man in the fire, and we've got too many people. And I heard this on TV one time, and it just got under my skin. And one of the tele-evangelists on TV made this statement. He was preaching, and he was talking about prosperity. And I believe in prosperity. Amen. The Lord delights in the prosperity. God wants you to have more money than you have month. And when you get to retirement, he wants you to be able to have a retirement where you can be in church more. Amen. I thought I'd slip that in there. But listen to me. Listen to me. He told the people on TV, he said, when we children of God get so prosperous that they see us driving a Bentley, then the world's going to look at us and say, man, they got a great and awesome God. Now, I do drive a Lincoln, but I never heard of a Bentley until that moment. Has anybody ever heard of a Bentley car? Well, I didn't. But a Bentley usually costs a lot of money. And let me tell you something. It's not a shiny Bentley that proves to the world that my God is good. It's an old rugged cross where my Savior bled and died. And I'll tell you, if I don't drive another Lincoln, if I have to walk to church on an ingrown toenail, He's still my God. And He's good because He died on the cross. And He's been there and He's done that. And He took my shame and He took my pain. I wish somebody would just praise Him. That's what the world knows. He's my God. I wish somebody would say hallelujah. What a mighty God I serve. When all hell breaks loose and they see me saying, my God, I'll tell you that the Bentley or the Lincoln ain't going to matter then. Amen. Now, I didn't say it was anything wrong with having a nicer car, but I'll tell you what, we don't need that for the world to know how good our God is. And if we get nice things, yes. A nice home, nice car, that does give certain testimony, but that's not the main thing. Amen. So the first observation is that on a bad day, just say, my God. And then I want you to notice when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The second thing I want you to notice is that he is actually quoting scripture. If you'll go to, and I asked Brother David to go to Psalm 22, and verse 1, I want you to read this. You got to remember the book of Psalms. And by the way, let me give you a little secret about Psalms. When we read Psalms, remember, they were not given to be read. They were given to be sung. It's like opening up our hymn book, Prayer Bells of Heaven, Oh, How Sweetly They Ring. Bearing a message to Jesus, our King. Now, I just read it to you. But when I sing it, prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring. Now, you can read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the... Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way... I don't care how you sing it. I can't sing. But the Psalms were songs. And I tell you, you can sing your way out of depression, amen? It's have anointed music in your car. If you've got Sirius satellite radio, it ought to be on 63 or 65. 65 is the brothers and the sisters with the Hammond organ, amen. That's what mine's on right now. I turn it on, and they'll get to singing and shouting, and it's the brothers, amen. You know what I mean? The African-Americans, they're our brothers, amen? And our sisters, glory to God, and they just get with it. And I love it, amen. And then on 63 is Chris Tomlin at the cross. Listen, there's something about singing on your bad day. Amen. But listen at Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. Look at that. Are you there? Say amen. What does that say? What does it say? Jesus was actually quoting scripture. The fourth cry on the cross was literally a quotation of Psalm 22. That's the power of the Word of God. Friend, I want you to memorize Scripture. I want you to read the Bible so much and so thorough that Scripture, just like I'm in Best Buy, I know that Scripture says, therefore have I hope. I know it's in there because I've read it so many times. I mean, I can tell you exactly where it's at, but there's something about quoting Scriptures and speaking the Word of God, saying the Word of God, quoting the Word of God, telling the devil the Word of God. Listen, let's read the rest of this. He said in the psalmist, why are you so far from helping me in the words of my groaning? Oh, my God. They sung in the minor chord, by the way, the Hebrews, before the cross. After the cross, we sing in the major chords. Amen. Praise God. But listen, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. Look at verse 7, Psalm 22, verse 7. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You know what this psalm is? It's a prophecy of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he was fulfilling this psalm. And by the way, have you ever had people to ridicule you? To shoot out the lip at you? Boy, I have. I've had it while I was preaching. Not here, praise God. Be not far from me. Brother Bird told me when I was a young preacher, he said, there'll come a day in your ministry, you'll be preaching under the anointing, and there'll be somebody who's got something against you, and they're going to fold their arms and stare you down, and you're going to have to stay anointed. I said, nah. But yeah, it happens. It happens. By the way, that's a good little note while I'm on it. When you are in church and when a preacher is preaching, make sure you got a little bit of smile on your face, because he may think you're mad. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, man, I tell you what, the preacher, he didn't preach that good. But if he's sincere, at least you can say when he walks out the door, preacher, that was a nice try. You see, look at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there seems to be no one to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Bulls have surrounded me. We're talking about an utterly impossible situation. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. And I'm going to get back to the lion in just a minute. Remember that. Here he is surrounded by lions. They're trying to devour. Lions could be people. It could be temptation. Bull. We're talking strong. You know, a huge bull. When I read the scripture, I think of that run that they have with the bulls in Madrid, Spain. Everybody runs away from the bulls. They let the bulls out. And then those bulls will catch up with people and just throw them up in the air. And I think about those rodeos where they hold out the flag and that bull and a man gets on top of the bull and the bull is just shaking him. And, you know, bulls are nothing to mess with. And this is some of you have been bullied by a boss, by a neighbor, by a relative. Verse 14, I'm poured out like water. You know how water, when you pour it out, it just goes everywhere. You can drop a little bit of water, and when you go to wipe it up, it's like, it's everywhere. And it's like, you just thought it was a little bit, but it's got a little bit over here, splatter a little bit over here. And that's the way sometimes we feel poured out. Folks, I want to paint the picture. I want you to feel the passion of the Christ. I want you to understand that I'm trying to hit by the Holy Spirit tonight the pain that we all go through. He said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones, have you ever had a bone out of joint? It's not fun. Don't you remember, Pastor, we were at Falcon? And me and Brother Jerry Nelson in 2014 were on our way. And all of a sudden, I go down. My wife went down today. We were at K&W. She actually fell. We got out of the, walked out of the door, and we were just walking to the car. Next thing I know, boom, she's down. It took a few, you know, for her to get her composure up and want to make sure nothing was broke. And I don't mean that wrong, I promise you. But she got up and thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. I praise you, Father, that we didn't have to. But that day, Pastor, my one side of my foot got a hairline fracture. And I'm telling you, I thought my whole body was in pain. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted because of my bowels. Look at verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, very dry. My tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Now, I'm going to stop right here. And you think you've got a bad job? And you think that your home situation is bad, and it probably is. But is it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's been there, and he's felt that. Amen. Verse 17, I can count my bones. Oh, no, I got to finish this. For the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Watch this. They pierced my hands and my feet, speaking directly of the cross. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look at me and stare at me. In other words, his bones not only have been broken, but it's horrible when somebody breaks a bone and you can see it. That's terrible. You say, Brother Ricky, I'd rather shout. Well, listen, sometimes shouting comes when we realize God's with us in the pain. Can I get an amen? They divide my garments, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now here we go. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength. You know how you're going to make it through a bad day? You know how you're going to make it when the bulls are throwing you up in the air? Amen. You know how you're going to make it when your bone is out of joint? Let me tell you, the Lord is my strength and my helper and a strong and mighty tower and a refuge in the midst of the storm. He is there. He's been there. He's done that. That's why Trinity shaved her head. She wanted people to know that there's people who do have cancer and they lose their hair. And she said, I'm going to identify with them. Her and her mother, they shaved their heads because they want the world to know that we're with you and we're going to strengthen you. And we're going to raise money to help you. And Jesus has been there. He had his head shaved in a sense, not literally, but he has been there. He took the, you, and listen, if you've been rejected, hurt, everything. And here's what Jesus did. He quoted the scriptures. He went back to the Psalms. When you go back to the Word of God, in your worst day, you quote scripture. Tell the devil you are blessed and highly favored of God. Tell the devil you'll be blessed going in and blessed coming out. Blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Tell the devil that if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff. I'm going to quote the word of God. Give him a praise tonight. In your worst day, quote scripture. Somebody say, it is written. That's what Jesus told the devil. Three times when Jesus was fasting, Jesus said, devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let me tell you, when you face sickness, it is written that he, by his stripes, you were healed. When you lose a loved one, it is written that we'll meet again. If you face financial difficulties, it is written that if you tithe and give God the honor, he will open up the windows of heaven. If you've been hurt and betrayed, it is written that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to know, quote the scriptures. When you're facing the impossibility, it is written that with God, all things are possible. Somebody shout, it is written. Say it again. It is written. Number one, he said, my God. Number two, he quoted scripture. Somebody say, it is written. Yeah, Brother Ricky, you're going through something. Yeah, but it is written. Amen. In the volume of the book, it was written of me. That's what Jesus said. But you know, I can say it too. In the volume of the book, I got 66 books. I got a library of books, Genesis to Revelation. And then the third observation, I just really want to leave you with this. It's okay to ask God why. Amen? You know, Jesus did not say, what reason, God, have you forsaken me? He simply said, why have you forsaken me? Now, if you read it too fast, you'll miss it. Why have you forsaken me? Say it with me. Why have you forsaken me? He never said, what reason have you forsaken me? Do you know why? Because his question, when you read it in a new light, tells you that he knew there was a reason. Why? There is a reason why. And it's not wrong to ask God why. Now, Jesus knew why because of us. But, of course, we don't know why. Amen. But it's not wrong to say, God, why? Search. Pray. Why am I not having enough money at the end of the month? You might be not tithing. And you put God first, and then can I get a witness out there? Why am I going through what I'm going through? It may be something simple. It's not wrong to ask why. I think it's good to ask why. You know, if we're not, if the doctor says, you know, you're not healthy, you need to say, why? Now, you might not want to hear what he's got to say. But asking why is not a reason. Now, I'm not going to tell you God's going to give you the answer right now, but I will tell you this. God will give you an answer. He will give you an answer. There is coming a day when all the questions of life are going to be answered. The doors that shut that we didn't understand. I remember I interviewed at a church one time, 2004. I interviewed at a church, and I was so excited. I wanted to go there. I felt led to go there. And they didn't ask me to come. They chose somebody else. And even after 13 years, I still wonder why. But you know what? There's coming a day when God will, he might let me know. And guess what? If he don't let me know, that's okay too. Because really in the end, all that matters is that I see his precious face. We'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by. When the mornings come, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome. Why? Because we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the mornings come, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by... Turn around and tell somebody, it's okay to ask why. Amen. It's all right to ask God. Go to God. Go to God and say, Lord, why am I not seeing this? Why are you leaving me here? Why? And may I tell you that there's a timing factor as well. There's some things that only time will answer. I look back in the church that I wanted to go to. I was called to another church. I had been at the pastor that went to the other church, and I went to Kinston. We both pastored there 5 years. And the pastor that left that church left and went to another field of work. He left the ministry discouraged, and the church was down. After 5 years of ministry at Kinston, God had blessed. We had seen revival. We had seen 50 people baptized, the church grow, and began to relocate to another camp. I don't understand, Brother Philip, why, but God knows why. And I thank God for his stops as well as his starts. I thank God that when he slams the door on the face. And by the way, I'm going to throw this in here for the teenagers. I thank God I didn't marry the first one that I wanted to get married to. Or the second one that I wanted to get married to. I'm glad for the third choice. Amen. Her name is Darnell. Hallelujah. Why, oh Lord, why? Why? And I had to break up with that. Why? Because Darnell was coming down the road. Amen. God loves you. Amen. I'm going to bring this to a close in just a moment. I'll ask Brother Clark to come. But I was in Myrtle Beach. I'd taken a small country church in the middle of nowhere, Nakina. A very difficult church to pastor. Very long-standing discord in the church for many years. And yet they had added some new board members. And at the time, I felt led to go. And I went down there. And Myrtle Beach is close by. That was one of the blessings. I could be in Myrtle Beach in 35 minutes. And I found the Books A Million store down at the mall down there by Bass Pro Shop. There's a Books A Million close by. You see, real men go to Bass Pro Shops. Me, I go over to Books A Million, okay? So they're over there buying fishing lures. I'm over there looking at books that I do not need. Amen. And I stumbled across Ashley Judd had just written her biography. Does everybody know Ashley Judd? Put your hands up. How many of you don't know who Ashley Judd is? You don't know who Ashley Judd is. Well, there she is. She's a movie star. She started out with Star Trek, The New Generation. She was a young actress on there. Her sister is a country music singer, the Judds. Her sister and her mother are conservative. She is liberal. And she's a liberal. Very strong into abortion and things like that. And all of that. But I saw her biography. And I just skimmed, because I actually like some of the shows, some of the movies. Some of the movies you don't need to watch, but some of them, I enjoyed her. She, you know, very beautiful woman and a good actress if she was doing a good movie. Her and Morgan Freeman would act together. It was some good movies. But so I picked up her biography, and I just skimmed through, and I ran across Dynamite. Now, I want y'all to listen what I ran across. She went on a spiritual search. And she's not found saving faith like you and I have. But she writes towards the end of her book that she actually went to Africa. And she saw in Africa horrible disease and death as a result of plagues. And she saw some bad things in Africa. And she actually wrote a letter. And in her biography, in her autobiography, she wrote this letter to God. She said this, I quote, "Dear God," talking of the Africans, "these are your children. What is to become of them? Why have you created a world in which you choose to be powerless? I think you and your big plan stinks." And she didn't use the word stink. "I think allowing," here's why she said that. She said, "I think allowing vulnerable, defenseless children to be gang raped and thrown away, illiterate and unable to prevent disease, it is beyond a bad idea." Because what happened, little children were getting raped and they were catching AIDS. And she couldn't understand how God was allowing that. She went on to say, "The notion that you are a God of justice is savage to me." And here she, and I'm going to say this, and I don't really like repeating it. She says, "I think you are a cruel charade and that you're going to be one day bested by a God who doesn't waste this stuff, allow things to happen like this." She sent that letter, listen to this. She sent that letter to a minister by the name of Bishop Desmond Tutu. Now, some of you may not remember Bishop Desmond Tutu, the Archbishop of South Africa. She sent that letter to him. And so he responded. And here's what Bishop, in fact, she put SOS in the email because she was searching for answers. And it's blowing my mind. And here's what Bishop Desmond Tutu said. Brother Clark, if you'll get ready to play, because we're getting ready to bring this to a close. Bishop Tutu said, "God is so glad to have someone like you, available and willing, bearing unbearable anguish, crying and offering all that you can, a point of transfiguration, offering, being a conduit of grace, of love, of tears. And God will thank you," listen to this, "for accepting the foolishness of the cross and the weakness of the cross. I love you and pray for you to go on caring and feeling and crying and being the person of goodness that you are in a horrible world." I know you didn't get it, but I'm going to give you what you might have missed. She's seeing rape, and it's terrible. She's seeing disease on children, and it's not imaginable. But Bishop Tutu, what do we do about that? And Bishop says, "Oh, Ashley, let me point you to an old rugged cross. And there he took the rape. And there he took the disease. And he can make it right. And he can sweep in and bring bad things, good things out of bad, and light out of darkness. His grace will conquer, because not only did he die on the cross, he on the third day rose again, so that those who've been raped and those who've been molested and those who've been violated and those who've been hurt and those whose bones are out of joint, those are in pain, can live and have hope that there's a God who has felt your pain, has been there and done that. Ashley Judd, come to the cross. It'll make it all right." Somebody lift your hand and praise him tonight. At the cross, at the cross. my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, let's pray for Ashley right now. God, open her eyes. Oh, God, let us come to the cross. I'm asking you, have you felt pain lately? We can't understand how for a moment God and the Son for a moment were divided. Can't explain it, but I will say this. Listen to me. God killed His Son so that you could be His child. God loves you so much. Listen to me. God loves you so much. He'd rather die than you go to hell. But I got to tell you, He died on the cross. But you've got to accept that. And you have to come to it. And you have to realize, if He didn't die on the cross for me, then that means I've got to pay for my own sins. Stephen offered, and I'm closing, this is it. Stephen offered, he was raised by missionaries. He was in a hut in Africa, and he was about 15 years old. And they didn't have windows like we have windows. And a leopard, or I don't know if it was a leopard or a lion. Let me see which one it was. It's something big. And a leopard jumped through. He was just sitting there. Him and his dog, they were sitting there. His parents were away. And in the night, out of the darkness of Africa, a leopard jumped through the window. And there Stephen Orford was, defenseless, helpless. And he writes, Pastor, that the leopard began to prance and look at him. Look at him with those cruel eyes. And then that leopard positioned itself. And he had no weapon, nothing. He didn't have anything. And about the time, that moment, that leopard sprang up, his dog jumped up simultaneously and took the hit of the leopard. And the leopard got a hold of that dog and just tore him to pieces. It gave him enough time to escape. But while he was escaping, he heard the cries of his dog. He heard the pitiful moans and the screeches of his dying dog. And he said, as long as I live, I'll never forget what that dog did for me. My God, my God. Don't let us ever forget. Go ahead and play, brother. Don't let us ever forget what Jesus did for us. Would you stand with me tonight? Listen, He died for us. He felt your pain. He felt your pain. Don't ever forget what Jesus did for you. And I don't mean this wrong. And sometimes we'll let a little headache keep us out of church. When Jesus died a cruel death on the cross, I say it in love. Don't ever forget what that Lord of yours did. Don't ever forget the crown of thorns. Don't ever forget when you're driving a nice car that they drove nails in His hands. Don't ever forget when you've got money in the bank and a nice job. Don't ever forget what Jesus did for you. And when you're suffering, and when you're in a hospital, as the pastor says, when he was flat on his back, you didn't forget what Jesus did for you. Would you step out of your seat and join me at the front as we close in prayer tonight? Everybody, if you will. Oh, so I cherish, the aura. Bring your pain. Bring your guilt. Bring your sins. Bring your hurts. Lay down. He's been there.
I will
cling to the old rugged cross. I'll exchange it and exchange it someday for a. Come on, lift your hands and sing it. So I'll cherish and so I'll. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget what He did. My God, You're my God. last I lay down,
I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Somebody say, my God,
and exchange
it someday for us. As he plays softly, I want you just to say, my God, you are my God. You're my God. Through the hurt, through the pain, when my bones are out of joint, when I'm surrounded by the bullies, oh God, you're there with me, and you're going to bring me through to the other side. God, if you deliver me, I'm going to serve you, but if you don't do it in this world, I'll serve you in the next. Oh God, if I perish, I perish. But God, you've given me life that's beyond this world, life more abundantly. I'll never forget. Come on, just tell him, Lord, I'll never forget. I'll never forget what you did for me. I'll never forget when you said, Father, forgive them. I'll never forget when you said, I thirst. I'll never forget when you said, woman, behold your son. I'll never forget when you said, this day you will be with me in paradise. I'll never forget when you said, it is finished. I'll never forget when you said, into your hands I commit my spirit. To the old rugged cross. Oh, and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cling, so I'll cling.